Welcome to Today on Broadway for Friday, April 15th, 2016. I hope everyone has their taxes done. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini, and I, true confession, do not have them done yet.
I'm still working on my Christmas cards. I'm James Marino from Broadway Stars.
And happy 16th birthday to Shikaboom Records. Congratulations on 16 years of putting out great cast albums, guys.
16 candles. Now I have place to put my hand.
Okay. Well, if you guys missed our major announcement on Facebook and Twitter today, first, why are you not following us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio? And second, the big announcement that we were finally able to share is that this morning we recorded the first episode of Literally Patty Murin, the podcast, with obviously Patty Murin and her Broadway BFF special guest, Andrew Rannells. James, you and I both listened in, and that was a lot of fun to listen to.
Oh, it's just half an hour of just side-splitting laughter. It's very, very funny and some good insights into Broadway. So when it comes out, take a listen to it. I think you'll all enjoy it.
Absolutely.
Let's get to the first story of the day is that Matilda is going to school.
It is. Last night at half hour, call the producers of the hit Broadway musical Matilda posted their closing notice announcing that the Royal Shakespeare Company would close the musical on January 1st, 2017. Just earlier this week, we celebrated the show's third year on Broadway. Based on the beloved novel by Roald Dahl, the musical features a Tony-winning book by Dennis Kelly and music and lyrics by Tim Minchin. It's curious to me, James, that the show has announced its closing because we know they've already recouped their initial $16 million investment. And during the peak tourist seasons, they routinely break $1 million weekly at the box office. In fact, they've averaged $1,024,000 a week over the past month. However, that total dips down to between $500,000 and $600,000 a week when the family crowds that drive those bigger weeks are back at work in school. So it's interesting, but I think the producers thought that with a bevy of kid-friendly shows eyeing Broadway runs, including SpongeBob, which we've talked about, Anastasia that's playing at the Hartford Stage this summer, Frozen that's announced for Broadway, and of course Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, which is also based on a Dahl novel, that it was probably time to cut their losses and focus on the West End version and the national tour that launched in 2015. And while announcing it 7.5 months before the show closes might generate some interest from people who want to see the show again before it closes, my friend Ellen Marsh on Twitter really kind of praised the producers for giving the cast and crew plenty of time to audition for and book new jobs for 2017. So congratulations to Matilda on a great run. And I know I'm personally really looking forward to it when the tour comes through Orlando later this year.
Yeah, this is, these producers are very, very smart people to line this up. And also, I don't know if the theater owners kind of stepped in and said, hey, you know, it's a good time to wrap it up because they need to loosen up the theater for a spring run of one of the other things that might be coming in.
Yeah.
So let's move forward into our openings. The Father opens up. And so what were the reviews like?
Well, the growing consensus with a few reviews still outstanding by the time we're recording this is that the show itself, or maybe perhaps just this production, is missing a certain amount of weight to it, but that Frank Langella is unsurprisingly giving an incredible performance. The basics of the show are that it's produced by the Manhattan Theater Club and directed by Doug Hughes, and it obviously stars three-time Tony winner Frank Langella. The play was originally written in French by Florian Zeller with an English translation by Christopher Hampton. Langella plays Andre, a Parisian engineer, or perhaps a tap dancer, who is living with his daughter, played by Catherine Irby, and struggling with memory loss and dementia. Deadline's Jeremy Gerard wrote that Doug Hughes's production seems slight at 90 intermissionless minutes. The exception, of course, is Langella giving another masterclass in felt performance as Andre regresses, devolves really, from strong-willed fighter to whimpering babe. It's a performance of surpassing empathy and sadness. Joe Dominowitz of Newark Daily News said that, at its best, Zeller's writing is crisp, darkly humorous, and emits a hushed Pinter-esque chill. On the downside, the play is so sterile, it sidesteps the mess that comes with mental deterioration. Matt Wendman of AM New York said, Doug Hughes's focused production is built around an all-out, highly emotional performance from Langella that brings to mind King Lear's extreme fall from security into chaos. He goes on saying that the central story is a dramatically effective and culturally important one that focuses the audience to see the world through the eyes of someone with dementia and to identify with them. We mentioned on Tuesday, James, that new dramas have not been doing all that well at the box office so far this spring. So I wonder if these, you know, strong reviews, especially for Langella, will encourage people to go out and see the show, especially since, you know, Frank Langella is 78 years old, and we don't know how many times we'll get to see him on a Broadway stage again.
Yeah, any chance you can get to see Frank Langella on stage, please take that. And this is a limited run, so hopefully it'll get some good box office. As you pointed out, there's been a drought at the box office with many of the plays this season.
Yeah.
All right, let's move forward to Nicole Kidman is coming back to Broadway.
Yeah, speaking of a rather dramatic play, in today's column in the New York Post, Michael Riedel is reporting that the iconic movie star will be returning to Broadway this fall in Photograph 51, the story of Rosalind Franklin, an unheralded scientist that helped discover the DNA double helix, which ultimately might have led to her untimely death. Kidman was nominated for an Olivier this year for her performance of the show in the West End, which was directed and produced by Michael Grandage, and the transfer would mark her first Broadway appearance since The Blue Room in late 98, early 1999. Riedel says that the show is tentatively scheduled for the Lyceum Theater, where Jesse Tyler Ferguson's limited run of Fully Committed is currently playing this summer. But if Tuck Everlasting doesn't make it all the way to the fall, Photograph 51 could move into the larger Broadhurst. As I mentioned, it is a dramatic show, and it's a really kind of fascinating look at the female perspective of a really important scientific event where, you know, back in that day and age, women really weren't respected as much as male scientists were. But I think Kidman's more than proven her salt and acting ability in some dramatic roles on screen over the last couple decades. So I'm excited to see what that looks like on stage for her.
So you got a chance to see Photograph 51 previously down in Orlando.
I did, yeah. The Mad Cow Theater down here in Orlando has a commitment to doing scientifically related plays. And so they did a reading of this a few years ago and they did a full production in 2015. And so it was done in a small black box, but it's just a 4 or 5 person show. It's really intimate and it really kind of focuses on how Rosalind Franklin kind of dealt with being a brilliant woman at a time when women just weren't paid attention to and weren't respected, especially in the scientific field. And her contributions to one of the biggest scientific discoveries of all time were pretty much overlooked by her male counterparts. So I think this could be one that might buck the trend of dramatic plays not doing all that well in the box office, especially with a big name like Kidman behind it.
So with the Shikaboom Sweet 16, and we've been talking about Broadway records this week, other cast recordings, and we have some announcements about Waitress. So tell us about what's going on.
Yeah, yesterday DMI Soundtracks announced that the original Broadway cast recording of Waitress would be available for digital release on June 10th and on CD on July 1st. The cast, along with composer Sarah Bareilles, will go into the studio sometime in May. So that's exciting. I've worn out my electronic copy of Sarah Bareilles singing a lot of the songs from the show, so I'm excited to hear what Jesse Mueller et al. Will sound like doing those shows in a kind of a different way.
That's great to have that announcement so early. Cast recordings, I believe, help sell tickets, and it's good to get it out ahead of time. That is great. So, Matt, are you holding out on me?
I have no idea where you're going with this, so I'm saying no, I am not.
Because the Tony Awards announced their first winners. You didn't win anything, did you?
I did not, and neither did you, unfortunately. Although,
what? I didn't read it yet. I didn't win it yet.
I'm still holding out hope that eventually you'll get one of these Tony honors. But yesterday, the Tony Awards Administration Committee announced the recipients of this year's Tony Honors for Excellence in the Theater. And they include entertainment lawyer Seth Gelblum, vocal coach Joan Lader, and costume shop proprietor Sally Ann Parsons. They obviously aren't the sexiest names in the business, but I think it's good for the Tonys to recognize folks from all corners of the Broadway community. In case you didn't know, the Tonys will air live from New York's Beacon Theater on CBS Sunday, June 12th, and will be hosted by Tony Witter and James Corden. So good for these folks to get the recognition that I'm sure their decades of work deserve.
So we, when we were recording today with Rannells, Rannells said something very interesting about the Tonys and James Corden, but you'll have to listen to the podcast with Patty Murin to understand what we're good talking tease. About.
Good tease, James.
All right. Shocker of the day, knock me over with a feather. Jed Bernstein resigns as president of Lincoln Center.
Yeah, I think you sent me this this link in an email that just said OMG. Rather abruptly yesterday, it was announced that Jed Bernstein was stepping down as the president of Lincoln Center for the Performing Arts, a role he's held just since 2013. Bernstein had previously led the Broadway League for 11 years and produced 8 Broadway shows, including Passing Strange and the most recent revivals of Equus, Hair, and Driving Miss Daisy. In a statement, Bernstein said, "I have come to realize that the next step for me should be a return to direct engagement with what makes me happiest, creating and producing." James, you've known Jed for a long time. Do you have any insight into this? I mean, it seems pretty sudden.
As I said, knock me over with a feather. Totally unexpected. I thought that Jed was going to, have a long, distinguished career at Lincoln Center with huge plans. Jed's a visionary producer, and I was thinking with the redevelopment of the Lincoln Center area, yeah, he would have a big hand in that. And I'm very surprised, but Jed is, he's a cat. He lands on his feet, and I'm looking forward to the next thing that he does.
Yeah, the Lincoln Center is in the middle of a $500 million renovation and upgrade, and they did say that that Bernstein's leaving will not impact that whatsoever. So that's good to know from a Lincoln Center perspective.
Okay, Matt, why don't you get us out of here?
All right, thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow Broadway Radio on Facebook and Twitter. You never know when we're going to drop huge news like we did today. And you can find me on Twitter at BWWMatt. And please subscribe to my pop culture podcast, Some Like It Pop, on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
And I am James Marino at BroadwayRadio.com and BroadwayStars.com. Don't forget to check us out this week on This Week in Broadway, where on Sunday we're going to be talking to Jose Lana from The King and I. And he's got a new album out, so take a listen to us. Have a great weekend, and we will talk to you on Monday.